Thank you. You feel good? And we just love the Harriman so much. And unfortunately, the Lacroix are going to be in town in August. We didn't have enough notice for to kind of have them. So hopefully some of you who support them, you'll be able to connect with them as well. They'll be somewhere in the area anyways. But it was very short notice to get them connected here. So anyways, we better get into the Word so it can challenge each of us to walk closer with the Lord. Amen? Because that's what the Word does. It's to challenge us to walk closer with the Lord. We don't make any excuses for that. And to be obedient, to live Spirit-filled lives. Amen? Spirit, say that with me. Spirit-filled lives. Spirit-filled lifestyle. So I begin with a few questions with you. Are they loaded questions? Most definitely. But I will begin with a couple of questions. How many of you begin things and have a hard time completing them? Be honest. How many of you begin things and have a hard time completing them? Okay, lots of hands gone up. Next question. They're not becoming more intense. So, you know, so you could still answer it. How many of you, where are you going? I promise if you get up, I won't do that to you. There's only a couple of people we do that to here. Peter's one of them. It's a good thing. So how many of you have good intentions of getting closer with God, and you find yourselves not completing the journey and becoming frustrated with yourselves? Can I see hands? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you know what is right and what God or what the Lord is saying, but you have a hard time answering that call? Wow. Lots of hands. Well, I got to tell you something. The good news is this. If you humble yourself today, He will set you free. Okay? If you humble yourself today, He will set you free. And if you don't humble yourself today, you will just continue to go through that cycle of the next time I ask those questions, you will put up your hands again. Amen? And we don't want to do that, do we? We want to break the cycle here. You know, I remember there were things in our family when Linda and I were married 3 or 4 years that we didn't want to see be part of our lives or part of our families, and we broke a cycle so that we would walk in health in our marriage. Well, we need to walk in health with the Lord. So John 14:26, it says, "But the advocate, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So I've been studying again this week on the Holy Spirit and on the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost. So, James, would you just put up that overhead for me? Okay, so let's all read that together. And Nikki, start us, please. So let's stand and read it in unison together.
"When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them
Amen. You may be seated. You will notice in this passage as it begins, they were all together in one place. And they refers to the 120 of the core followers of Jesus, including the 12 disciples. And just before this incredible miracle on this day of Pentecost, I want to take a minute and look at the word Pentecostal. It says Gateway Pentecostal on our church, right? They attend Logos Pentecostal Church in Mississauga. We are part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We are part of the Western Ontario District of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada in this church. So I want to take a look at the word Pentecostal first before we move forward. Is that okay with you? I've never done this before, have I? And so I want to take a look at this word because it carries a different meaning for different people, Pentecostal. And sometimes when I meet my some people, they Pentecostal, and they can't say it. And they always put in, instead of a P-E-N-T-E, they put P-E-N-T-A. And so even when we get mail at the church, someone trying to sell us something, they always spell Pentecostal wrong. So I told them, I said, if you want me to buy something from you, at least get our name right. You know, so the word Pentecostal, it has two different definitions that are very different from each other. And the first is the cultural definition. Some of you will be able to relate to this. Most of us in this place will not be able to relate to this. This is a first-generation church. A lot of us are first-generation believers, first-generation Pentecostal people. But there is a cultural definition that is out there. And for many people, the term Pentecostal describes a person from a very religious tradition where women are not allowed to wear pants or makeup. They're not allowed to cut their hair. And I have seen this a little bit in my walk, but not a lot. How many of you have seen that in Pentecostal circles? Did you grow up with that kind of tradition in your father's church? And so anyone else, did anyone else see that kind of, you know, I think Sharon, you saw some of that in Pentecostal tradition where women weren't allowed to cut their hair and they would wear, you know, you probably experienced some of that. And so this, the practice, it actually in Bible college we saw a little bit of this, but this type of practice gave rise to the old joke. And Randy, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. The higher the hair, the closer to God, right? How many of you have ever heard that? The higher the hair, the closer to God. And so we all know that these rigid practices concerning dress and hairstyles are not anything more than religious bondage or legalistic bondage, you know? And so they have little to do with the Holy Spirit's work in God's in people's lives. So we've been talking about Holy Spirit as a person. We've been talking about Holy Spirit as the truth. We talk about Holy Spirit as the one who draws us closer to God. And yet there's this many people, they would think that as because we proclaim Holy Spirit in Pentecostal traditions, that we would walk within this type of legalism. And that's not a definition for this house. Now, many non-Pentecostal denominations, they're also bound by this type of legalism, right? And even to this day, they are. But this is not a definition for this house. Whew. Everyone go, whew. Say hallelujah. 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 However, we don't criticize other traditions. We still are people who bless and honor, but it's a definition. It's not a criticism of anybody because Holy Spirit wouldn't be a critical person. Holy Spirit would be honoring. So we still honor, but that's not our definition. So now I want us to look at the biblical definition of what Pentecostal means. And it means that it's someone who understands and appreciates the historical fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And I would say that if that's your belief here this morning, then we are on the same page. And we can move forward and we can say hallelujah. And we could high-five each other and we could flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So we understand the fruits and the gifts and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that they are available for us today. Amen. And that we are in desperate need of His empowerment to live out this Christian life, that sometimes when I ask the questions at the beginning, you put up your hand because we struggle at times. Amen? Amen. Would you agree? So let's look closely at these verses again. And it reveals in the verses a time, a location, and an attitude. The time is the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, the Jewish Feast Day of Pentecost. The location is in one place. They were in one place, which refers to the upper room in Jerusalem, and one attitude. They were together. Another version said they were in one accord. They were in one accord. If there's one thing that we have to protect in this house, is that we are of one heart and one accord. Okay, and that we guard that. We guard that with our lives. Okay, you are my brother from a different mother, and you know what? And I honor you. I honor you. I was talking to a non-believer yesterday, and in the conversation, I was using the word honor and respect, and he stopped me, and he said, you know what? He says, I like the way you talk. He says, coming, talking to you, he says, For the first time, I didn't know if we'd be on the same page. He says, but we're on the same page because we honor, we respect, we're in one accord. They were in one accord in the upper room. They had one focus to wait on what Jesus had promised for them. And it was an explosion that took place. So let's look closely at it. They had unity of heart and they had unity of mind. So Christy, last week when they were here, they said that this church has unity of heart and unity of mind. Derek, when he opened up, he said the same thing. I think that you know that they were genuine. Okay, it wasn't part of their stick. So this week that they're going into another church and they're saying the same thing. It's not a canned presentation. It's what they saw. So would you agree that we are of one heart and one mind in this place? Would you? Amen. Yes, we have our differences, but we are. So this is very important that we agree. So suddenly, they all heard a tremendous noise. They heard a tremendous noise. In fact, the sound was so loud that the people throughout the city heard it. And even more remarkable, in addition to hearing this, they saw tongues of fire. I don't know what that would look like, but man, it's just like, it's so awesome. And they appeared to rest on them individually. And after hearing something they had never seen before, they had never heard something like this before, the people suddenly found themselves with the power to do something that they have never done. Okay? I want you, people of one heart, of unity of heart and mind, to have power to do things that you have never done before. And so when I ask questions like that, loaded questions at the beginning, no one will put up their hand ever again. Because we are of one unity and one accord. And that we will do things that we have never done. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. In other words, the 120 people gathered in the room suddenly began to speak languages that they did not know. Right? So do you speak Indian? What's your native tongue? Wouldn't that be amazing if we were in the upper room and you were coming from Jerusalem and I'm coming from North Bay and all of a sudden, you know, and we all, like, think about it. It's incredible. Wouldn't that be amazing? Johnson, you man, you're perma-smile, man, so you would be so happy in that situation. I'm telling you, how many dialogues are there in India? Thousands. So can you imagine there's some parts of India that are kind of divided, eh? So can you imagine looking at those divided areas and you look at them with such a love in your heart and understand exactly what they're saying? Oh my goodness, you could just imagine what was taking place at this time. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So what was occurring? Why did these events happen on this particular day, the Jewish feast of Pentecost? Well, I'm glad you asked why what was happening on this day. Amen? Pentecost, a little bit of teaching, little bit. Pentecost was one of the three major feasts in the nation of Israel. How many of you know that? Okay? And God himself, this is very, very important. God himself instituted these events through Moses in the Old Testament. And the Jewish holy calendar contains a total of seven feasts, but they all fall within these three major feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? And at the Passover feast, they remembered the event centuries earlier in Egypt when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel on the night of their great deliverance from bondage. How many of you know that story? Okay, that's an amazing story. If you need to get familiar with it again, just go back in the Old Testament. And one night they were saved by placing blood, the blood of lamb upon their doorpost. And that event, that is an important event because it foreshadowed the coming day when all humanity would be offered deliverance from Savior and sin and eternal death through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? The Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. So the Feast of Pentecost was celebrated on the fifth day after the Passover feast. Okay? And as you know, the number seven, as it appears in the Bible multiple times through Scripture, it symbolizes completion. It symbolizes perfection, maturity. And God ordained the Feast of Pentecost to occur 7 weeks after the Passover plus one day. 7 weeks past the Passover plus one day, because a week is comprised of 7 days, and Pentecost comes the day after 7 times 7 days, a perfect period of time, right? So God knew exactly what he was doing. So we talk in Pentecostal circles about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everything like this, but right from the Old Testament, God has lined all of this up. So why should you care this morning? Why should you care about this? What does it matter to you this morning? You're sitting here in church, you're being obedient, you know, you came to church and everything. So why should you care? Well, God ultimately used the divinely ordained Pentecost festival to usher in the person who would make it possible for every person to become mature and complete, right? And how many of you know that not every day are you mature and complete? And how many times do you set out in your day when you have all great intentions to walk close with God, and then that is so short-lived, and then you have guilt upon you, and it's like, oh my goodness, I'll try harder again tomorrow. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this on our own, folks. We need the Holy Spirit. Stop being legalistic and beating yourself up, but just submit yourself to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this. I can't do this without you. I need you, Holy Spirit. Okay? I want to love God the Father. I want my love language to pour into everyone, but Lord, there's something holding me back. I need Holy Spirit. And so the first century Jerusalem was always busy and crowded place during this season, during the Roman Empire. It was just flowing, and never was Jerusalem more packed and had a more diverse range of nations than this 8-week period that was taking place. And two miracles seem to be here. First, 120 people suddenly began to speak in various heavenly languages that they had never known before. And second, thousands of people heard it in their own native languages. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, you know, I got saved in 89. I read this story now, it still sends goose pimples all over me. The worship of hearts that are submitted to Jesus Christ and to Holy Spirit and God the Father. Thousands could hear it in our city with an attitude of total commitment to the Lord. Is it any wonder in the story that they were all amazed and perplexed? I want to be amazed and perplexed. Raymond, I'm going to get to know you. And I want your walk with God, man, to amaze me and perplex me. I want to walk away and go, wow, man, God's doing some good stuff in that guy's, you know what I mean? I want to be perplexed by your walk with God. I want you to be perplexed by my walk with God as well. Amen? So this is what precisely what happened on the day of Pentecost. And this is a wonderful story. Would you agree? Are you wondering how I could have so much energy and so much heat? It's time for a sip of water. Am I keeping anyone awake? Am I keeping anyone awake? Should be, am I putting anyone to sleep? So this is a wonderful story, right, Pete? And for the first time since the fall of man in the garden, the coming of the indwelling Holy Spirit empowered people to walk righteously on this earth. They were not able to walk righteously. If you look all through the Bible, they weren't able to do it. And we know that the words of Jesus came to make us righteous positionally. Now listen, positionally. In other words, that his death and his resurrection put us in right standing with God, right? We know that we know that happens. But we can't camp there. Positionally, that's how the Father sees all of you, right? And so what happens is, we are a Pentecostal church where I gave you two definitions of what it is to be Pentecostal. We cannot camp there just in the positional place. Well, this is the way God sees us. We know that Jesus came to make us righteous positionally. In other words, his death, resurrection, gives us a wonderful standing with God. But often, and I hope this stirs you this morning, often we miss the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a way that is consistent with the righteous position in Christ. Amen? And we need to say hallelujah. We need to get up in the morning. We need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I could walk in this. I may not understand it all, but thank you that I could walk in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when the Holy Spirit fills a person's life, amazing things begin to happen. Amen? Amazing things begin to happen. Amazing things. You know, Jen isn't here this morning, but I hope when she comes back, we can get a testimony of what the Kingdom Kids did up north, and where were they? You don't know either? Okay. But anyways, God used young people when they were here, the Kingdom Kids, and the children were here at the altar, and they were the altar workers, and people, grown-ups, were coming to the altar, and children were praying over them, and it was a beautiful thing to see children praying for adults and their hearts being touched. Amazing things happen with Holy Spirit, and a previously dead spirit is regenerated by Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit writes a new law upon our heart, the law of love, the law of love, the law of love, okay? In the law of love, there's no prejudice. In the law of love, there's no classism. In the law of love, there's no bigotry. In the law of love, it's the law of love. It's the language of the Spirit. It's the language of the Spirit. It's awesome. Supernatural things happen when we walk in the law of love. Amen? The law of love. The law of love answers all those questions that you have. By being submitted to Holy Spirit. Well, I get up, I can't do this. I start something, I can't finish it. The law of love, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit consistently and not make excuses anymore. We need him to be glorified and lifted up and holy. Whew. But that's not all. When a person receives the full release of Holy Spirit's power, we receive the empowerment to walk in the love I'm talking about, but to walk righteously. And I'm not talking about cultural Pentecostalism. I'm talking about biblical Pentecostalism, where we walk righteously before the Lord, where we walk, where we open up our service, and we say, Lord, help us to be holy. Help us to give ourselves to an audience of one. Okay? And what happens is it becomes a part of our lifestyle. We walk in it. It's a thing of beauty. The Apostle Paul proclaims throughout Romans 8, he says this. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I cannot carry it out. Can anyone relate? Can anyone relate? Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul. And he says, for what I do is not good. I want to do the evil I do not want to do, I do. I keep on doing it. What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? This is the Apostle Paul. I read this, I was undone. When we cultivate a relationship with Holy Spirit and we yield ourselves to His influence, we can cease feeling like wretched people, my friends. How many of you have felt in your life that you felt just like a wretched person? Okay? You walk around with guilt. You walk around with you walk around and you beat yourself up and you walk around with guilt, and then you walk around with so much guilt that you put it on other people too. And it becomes, and life becomes about you, and you're not happy, and the people around you aren't happy. Can anyone relate? You know what? So Paul, he says this because Paul wanted to be everything for God. He says, what a wretched person I am. The Holy Spirit changes everything. Amen? So we're not a Pentecostal church because of style. We're not a Pentecostal church because we flag and we jump and we greet for half an hour and we do this. It's not a style thing. It's a lifestyle thing, because there's an expectation that my life in Holy Spirit will change your life for the better and vice versa. Amen? Amen? So when we cultivate a friendship with Holy Spirit and we yield ourselves to His influence, we can cease feeling like wretched people. Only when we stop doing bad things we don't want to do and succeed in all good things, the Holy Spirit changes everything. It's the miracle of Pentecost. It's the miracle of Pentecost. That's why we're called Pentecostal people, because we believe in the miracle of Pentecost, right? The miracle of Pentecost. If you were people subjected to all the other stuff that I talked about, where it was all about, oh, don't do this and don't do that, I'm sorry. Okay, we were learning as a fellowship. We were learning. We're learning how to walk with God. Don't beat those people up, okay? They were their intention was probably right. But God has shown us that we could be free in Him. We could be free in Him. It is a miracle of that Pentecost Sunday. So I have a question for you. The miracle of that Pentecost Sunday, is it still available for us today? Is it? Is it still available for us today? Do we believe that, or are we culturally tuned to say that? Okay, because you know what happens is I'm the preacher. We're in a Pentecostal church. So is it possible for the Holy Spirit to do what He did on the Book of Acts today? And everyone says, Amen. So are you trained to say amen, or do we believe that deep within our spirits and in our hearts that yes, that's available for us today? There's a big difference. I don't want you to be little robots where you know what, I could press a button and I know that you're going to say yes here and you're going to say maybe here and you're going to, you know what, I want us to be sold out. Everyone is an individual. You have giftings. There's so much beauty in this right now. You know what? It's for me looking here in the spirit right now. Okay? I'm getting a prophetic picture right now. And in the picture right now, it would be like an artist looking at a landscape that they were going to paint. Okay, and it would be like, oh my goodness, I'm going to start here, but this is so good over here. Maybe I'll start painting over here. No, I got to go here. No, I got to go there. Oh my goodness, what a picture this is going to be. I'm so excited to be able to paint this picture and then to turn it around to show you all what God sees in all of you. Oh my goodness. So, can we experience the miracle today? How many of you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay. We're going to pray. Linda, myself, and Randy are going to come here. And would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Would you come to the altar and see if we could lead you this morning? Is there anybody else? You've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'd like us to pray for you this morning to receive it. I'm telling you up front so there's no surprises. Okay, so there's no fear. Okay, anybody else? Okay, how many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you have kind of neglected that gift? Anybody? Be honest, we're family here. Okay, anyone? How many of you pray in tongues every day in your prayer language? So, do you want to experience the miracle today? Do you want to experience the miracle today? I'm going to ask Melissa and some of the worship team to go back. And we are going to, I'm just going to close in a second. But I'm going to dilly-dally for a second here because if I continue talking, you're going to watch them and not going to hear what I'm going to say. So, I'll let them get up before I just close. And then, Nicole, come on up, and then anyone else come up. Also, that if you need prayer for something, besides that, just come, okay? Maybe it's just you just need to have a blessing spoken into your life. Doesn't matter. This is good. So the 12 disciples, along with the 108, that day, before that day, they struggled to understand. They struggled to understand and get the full pictures. And the disciples, they were timid. They were afraid. And they were hiding behind locked doors, dreading the knock on the door. And I got to tell you something. Some of you today are dreading the knock on the door. Okay. And if he's knocking on the door today, you need to open that door. Okay. And you need to go deeper. So, when I asked the questions this morning, a lot of people put up their hands. And are you hiding this morning? What are you hiding this morning? Are you hiding and what are you hiding? Behind a locked door, hoping no one will knock and find you. Where do you want to experience the miracle of Pentecost? It's your decision. I'm not a salesman who's going to continue to close the deal. The invitation is there. So let's stand together.